Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today is the woman who knows how to set personal boundaries, Alex Standy.
This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
Helps if I have us on screen. It works a whole lot better that way. But anyway, yeah, Dan McGinnis is going to be joining us again next week. He's got this week off for an event that he's taking care of. But it's good to have Alex back. And Alex is connecting by a different device today. She had a little bit of a technical issue, but she connected. And that's the most important thing. So other than the technical issue, how you doing, Alex?
I'm all right.
Hey.
One day at a time. Yeah. You know me.
So there you go. So that's a good thing. And we have a special guest joining us today. Her name is Donna Tashin, and she is a coach. She describes herself as an empowering life mastery coach. Interesting description. And we actually connected on one of these host guest websites out there, and she reached out to us because she said she wants to talk about her life by design topic. I thought, life by design topic. That does sound like it kind of aligns with what we're talking about, but I don't know much about it. So, Donna, you got to, first of all, welcome to the program. And second of all, what's life by design?
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here today and to chat with you guys and share intriguing conversation. Isn't it interesting when we get curious?
Oh, yeah.
to get curious about it, about life by design and the rest of it is not by default. If we live 1 year from now, we can either choose to live a life that we have designed on purpose, or we'll just be a year older and life will just be defaulting to whatever whatever happens to us. Mm-hmm. So many of the time I have felt in the past that I am, this is a strong word, but it'll get the point across, being a victim to my circumstances. It's just like whatever's happening to me, I have to figure out how to grin and bear it. I have to figure out how to overcome it. Those kind of thought processes. We put a lot of emphasis. Okay, I put a lot of emphasis. You guys have to say whether you did ever. Is put a lot of emphasis on circumstances that are happening. And life by design is talking about building on the inside of us and having that influence our world. Intrigued?
Well, yeah, intrigued. And in answer to your question of whether or not we've ever tried to build based on what's going on the outside, I guess my response is, you mean this week? Because that's pretty much what it is. And we're always dealing with outside issues. That's the way we're taught from the moment that we're born. That's the way our society is oriented. So, of course, we're dealing with outside issues all the time. In fact, it's kind of a topic here on the show. And obviously what you're describing is going to fit in very nicely about reminding ourselves to go inside, reminding ourselves to trust that inner connection and even to develop that inner connection.
Yes.
You're right on mark as far as we're concerned. So tell us a little bit more about how you go about doing that.
Well, Life by Design the program that I work with teaches six superpowers or gifts that we possess, and also 12 gifts of laws of the spirit that are in operation, whether we are aware of it or not. It is kind of like using a knife the improper way. It's a great tool, but if I use it backwards, I'm going to cut myself. And we use these gifts, these superpowers and the laws a lot of times it hurts us. It doesn't help us because we don't know about them and we don't know how to properly use them. Living from the place, the question I like to ask is, what if life wasn't happening to you, but happening with you?
Mm.
And when we begin to think in that way, it changes the powerless kind of feeling that it's happening, cooperating with me by what I am choosing to do and believe. So one of the gifts that I'm talking about that we often use improperly is imagination. Imagination is most often used by us imagining something going wrong or trying to prepare for that.
Yeah, we're really good at that. Oh, we're very, very good at that. High-skilled people, yes, no doubt.
And that's using the knife the wrong way. It mm-hmm. is not designed to avoid and to picture, you know, the kids are home late. The economy's going this way. I might lose my job. This is happening. That's happening. I'm probably going to get sick. all of the things that we do with our imagination, imagining the worst case scenario almost. It's as if that's going to help me prepare for it when all it really does is draw it to you. Mm-hmm. Is that working for you? Is that working for you to avoid problems? Come on, it's not. It's not really. It's not working. And so learning how to use imagination in the way where we begin to imagine what we really do want and how to do that. It isn't something since childhood that we've ever done. We need to be realistic, right?
That's what we're taught. Yeah, over and over and over.
Yeah, over and over. I need to be realistic. And so we begin to learn how to use imagination. So that's one example.
That's a good one. I think it's an accurate one too.
Because, right.
I mean, again, this comes back to the training that we get in our society, coming up through the school system, coming up from being a kid, growing up in our families, whatever our family mm-hmm. situations were. We're constantly dealing with an abundance of people, wrong kind of abundance, mm-hmm. an abundance of people who are focused on all the things that are going wrong. So we learn to focus on all the things that are going wrong. And of course, we end up making more and more things go wrong. And then we celebrate it. And then we go watch a movie about it. And it's just like an ongoing cycle. So yeah, I don't know if I've ever thought about it in terms of using imagination wrong, but we certainly used it very effectively in the direction we didn't want to go.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to go that way, it's not wrong.
No, not at all.
It's not going to hurt you if that's the direction that you really want your life to go. But most of us would love our dreams. And so how do we get the life we actually love is what I like to go into when I work with this program. There is some of the other gifts is intuition and how to truly use intuition so that, I mean, we all have it, but we don't always follow it.
Yeah, that's true.
Very true.
Yeah, it's a great idea, but I don't want to trust that. So I'm just going to listen to what my
mind to be realistic.
Is. That's right. Yeah.
So learning how to work with that. So you have any questions about it so far?
Pretty straightforward. I mean, you're right in alignment with what we'd like to talk about a lot. I mean, on the surface, LOA stands for law of attraction, but really we translate that into living our abundance. And you're talking mm-hmm. about what it takes to live an abundant life. So mm-hmm. you're right on track as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
The law of attraction is one of the laws, but there are 11 others that we don't often know about. And so, or hear about, at least I hadn't. And so I love to, the law of attraction is an amazing one. There's the law of thinking that what if the thoughts you thought that you continue to think about, not just the occasional thoughts, but the ones that you sit and you plant and you water and you give sunshine, what if they all came to pass?
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
And so I tell my clients to do this. You think a thought and then you say, like they did with kings and things like that. Reminds me of some old movies about kings is, okay, I think a thought and then I say, so let it be written. So let it be done. Mm-hmm. And if I don't want it to be done, then I need to not be thinking it.
Right.
So we're talking about mental discipline.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. And that mental discipline is a big deal. And something now you're actually talking to somebody in Alex who's very good at mental discipline. So this is right up her alley, actually.
That's why I aced the test.
That's
there
right.
You go.
Yeah, Alex took is it a test? Is it a survey? I'm not sure what you call it.
It's just a quiz.
Yeah, on Donna's website. And Yeah, she aced it. No problems.
I don't think there's really failing it. It's just, it's to be revealing to you if your painful past still influences you today is the quiz. Mm. And so if it doesn't, then you've had some healing take place. If you've had a painful past, you know, or perhaps you had an idealistic childhood and there was no pain, but...
Not likely. I mean, even the nicest, most pleasant childhoods usually have some sort of pain point that happens somewhere.
That's one of my passions, is to help people to rise above the pain and disappointments of life and then create the life they always wanted with Life by Design.
Which makes a lot of sense. One of the themes, and this seems to be coming out a lot, interview after interview lately, but one of the themes that has really played up over the years here on the show is person after person coming on, telling their story. Usually they're telling a story about, you know, some really miserable thing that happened. They had their dark night of the soul, as it's often called. And then they came through it and they flourished after that. Mm-hmm. And that's the theme that keeps playing over and over again, that, yeah, they never want to have to go through that again. Yeah, it was not a pleasant time to go through, but boy, did they learn a lot from it. And boy, did it set them up for some massive success afterward. And that sounds like what you're helping people do. You're helping people set up for that success to come afterward.
It doesn't always set us up for success. We have to know how to do that. But absolutely, I call coming through those kind of adversities that something good can come out of it. It doesn't feel like it when you're in it, but something good can come out of it. And I call those situations gifts wrapped in sandpaper.
Interesting.
Ooh, that hurt.
Oh, like they rub you the wrong way. They are not pretty. They are not pretty gifts. These are the ugly gifts that we don't like. And, but we can, there is a gift in every adversity if you look for it, which is changing your perspective. If I can get that word out.
I understand completely. I have trouble getting that word out, but I try to get it out almost every day because perspective is huge.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. And that's also one of the superpowers is learning how to, my perspective of myself will be the world I create and how we can shift, because my self-worth, my self-esteem is all tied into my perspective and what I feel like I can achieve. So how can we improve on that as well? That's another one.
Perspective. You tied perspective into self-esteem and self-love. There is also a special aspect of it. It's the perspective of what we have about ourselves. What is my perspective about me? It's not a perspective that we normally look at, but it probably plays the biggest role in our mental life of anything.
Yes, it does. We don't really want to admit it because we're okay, right? We're okay. We're fine. We're fine. Have you heard the acronym for FINE?
No.
I don't know. No. What is that?
Maybe you have, but maybe you haven't heard mine. It's freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
Okay. I'm going to grow up by saying FINE.
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
It's kind of terrifying to actually contemplate that one now that I think about it. That's probably why people keep saying it's fine. It's a whole lot easier.
It is. I don't know that it always means that, but it is kind of funny because sometimes it's true.
It can be. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think fine is one of those words that we kind of throw out there when we really don't want to reveal what's going on.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we're very good at that. Okay. So, all right. So we have a few of the anchor points here. What do you call them? The foundational? What would you call them?
They're gifts or superpowers.
Superpowers, that's what it was, yes. So we have a few of the superpowers laid out. What are some of the others?
Intuition, imagination, and there is reason as one of our gifts. And it is the difference between just having mental activity and actually thinking.
Okay. You gotta be a little specific about that one.
Yes. Mental activity is rehearsing the same way I have solved the problem forever, and I keep rethinking it. And if I look at this a different way, somehow it will change. And that is just mental activity. There's really not any reason or thinking going on. Reason is tapping into your intuition, your imagination, and looking for answers that are outside yourself so that you're not just stuck in the same rut that sometimes we, you know, you ever gone around the same bush, as you call it, you know, so reason is thinking differently. It is stretching. How could it work? How could this happen? As opposed to this will never work. I don't know how I'm going to do this. This will never work. That's just one example.
It's interesting that you use the word reason, because I'll tell you quite honestly, reason for me has been a big challenge. And I say that because I was always very good at it and have been from a very young age. But reason led me astray many, many times. And it took me a long time to figure out why.
Okay.
And the reason why is that reason separated from emotion actually lead you astray, because you're not thinking about it in terms of how you're feeling about it. You're thinking about it in terms of what's logical.
Yeah.
True.
That's not exactly what I meant.
I gathered that. So that's why I bring that up to see, okay, so how do you think about it?
That it's just a different perspective. But yeah, I can see that definition for reason. And the way that I am teaching it is you're using imagination, you're using your intuition. So you're definitely tapping in to your, I call it our spiritual intelligence. You're tapping into that to make decisions on how your gut feels, which is totally emotional. it's not bypassing the emotion. It's not, to me, the type of reason you said is more based on what you think I should do, or what somebody's opinion is of what I should do, as opposed to what I really want to do. Because there's emotion if I want to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, there is emotion. Yeah. Yeah. I guess the way I was thinking about the word reason, I was thinking about it in the way that a computer would reason, because a computer doesn't really have an emotional context. So it's just kind of, you know, logically, you know, deductively puts stuff together one after another. And if you don't put it together in the right order, the computer doesn't function. It has to have everything in just the right order. Otherwise it doesn't work. And that's the way I was thinking about reason. The way you're applying it is a little bit different. So it's important. That's why it's important to define our terms. By the way, a couple of comments from the live stream. Luke kind of reworked fine. I heard something similar. Fine is where it's, I'm going to translate it, figged up, insecure, neurotic, emotional. And Barbie said, every time I don't listen to the intuition, my life takes a dive. Trust your gut. Or sometimes when I reason, I don't trust my gut. What's your take on that?
The way that I am talking about reason is that it involves your intuition. It is not excluding your intuition. It's working in harmony with it, that it is part of the process when you are thinking, if I would say the right way. You know, it's thinking the way that would lead us to what we would really love. That's the biggest difference with the reason. The way I'm referring to it is it that type of thinking leads you to what you would really love, not just emotional choices, emotionless choices. So
it sounds like you're using the word reason to combine heart and brain together. Like
pretty much
using them as one combined organ rather than as separate organs.
Correct. That would be a good analogy.
Yeah. And that makes sense. In fact, it's actually good to have a word for that. I'm not sure for me if that's really the right word, but it's good to have one, because very often we lack a word for that union of feeling and thought. We really don't. The English language is a strange language.
It is a strange language.
It's very strange. It's absolutely chock full of words to describe all the things we don't like. It's chock full of ways of describing various forms of dysfunction. But when it comes time to talking about things that work, things that work together, things that we like, all of a sudden the available verbiage just shrinks to this little tiny pool of words. And I've never quite figured out why that is, other than a massive, you know, population wide focus on all this stuff that they don't like. But oh my goodness. Yeah. So it's nice to have a word that applies, that describes that union of thought and feeling together, combining them together and turning it into an internal journey. I like that. We have a word for that.
Yes.
That's really good. So take us a little bit deeper here. This is cool. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the ones, and I'm sure you'll like, one of the laws, I'll switch over to a law, is I call the law of supply. And you could exchange the word supply for abundance, because the supply in the spiritual realm, if you will, is inexhaustible.
Okay.
There is no lack in, so there is the supply. I like the law of abundance because it explains it better to me. So I heard this story and I made it mine now because I've told it so many times. So now it's mine kind of thing is.
Sure. That's fair.
Is if you went, I live in the state of Michigan. So we have the Great Lakes. You could picture the ocean, whichever works for you. And you go up to the ocean and you take a teaspoon and you scoop out, because that's what you believe your supply is. Mm. And you scoop out one teaspoon. Did the water make it? Can you tell you took it? No.
Really,
so I've got a bucket now because I've increased my belief for supply and abundance. I've increased for my living the life that I love. And so I've got a bucket and I take a bucket of water out of the ocean. Did the ocean change?
Not a whole lot.
No. Now we're going to do a bathtub and now we're going to do a tanker truck and fill it up because now I've expanded and I believe for more abundance. Did it change the water?
Absolutely not. A whole lot.
Not.
No.
You can't tell any difference. And so the phrase I love to say is I scoop from abundance and abundance remains. There is no lack. We can have the life we want to love when we begin to think in alignment with what the spirit has for us. So that's one of the other ones that I thought you might enjoy.
Yeah, that's a good one. Now,
I do like that one.
The obvious question. You know, jump in, Alex, because you know how I just keep going here. So, you know, if you need to jump in, just jump right in. But the obvious challenge that comes up with all this is, I think, particularly in what we call conscious creator circles, people who are familiar with a lot of this stuff to some level, to some degree, everybody agrees, yes, 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 everything is abundant and so forth, until they start actually applying it in their lives. And all of a sudden they find all those gremlins coming back to haunt them. And so they're in a constant dogfight trying to maintain mastery. And so I guess my question is, how do you maintain mastery? Mm-hmm.
You change the thoughts you're thinking by the words you're speaking. It's as simple as that. You cannot think one thing and speak another. And so if you're belief system is those inner gremlins are speaking up of how do you think you can do that? Why do you think you can do that? Etc. Then you begin to speak what you want instead. And it will change your subconscious by the words you speak. It is not an overnight. Everybody wants me to build this magic booth that they can step in and go, presto, it's all better, but that doesn't happen. It's tenacity. It's being persistent and speaking what you do want. Because you can control your thoughts. You get to choose what you continue to think about. And get, so that's a simplified version. I work with clients over it for a period of time, but that's one of the ways, the main way.
Alex is nodding her head up and down like, yeah, of course. Is there another answer here? Really?
You've been quiet, Alex. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's basically on the same track as everything we talk about. So I'm just enjoying listening to what you're saying.
Awesome.
It's not new. It's a new package. And that's what makes it interesting. A different way of.
Oh, I love seeing all the different ways that different guests package it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's cool. And, mm-hmm. and every time we hear something, we always pick up something new. I mean, Luke.
Yeah.
I'm thinking in the live stream, he said, that's an amazing way to look at it. Taking a teaspoon of water to a tank of water, yet the ocean is still abundant. He loved that. You know? So just one little new way, because every one of those new perspectives, every one of those new ways of thinking about something is just kind of adds something to what we often call that tool bag, right? Mm-hmm. One more tool, one more little trick, one more way of just kind of playing with it in our mind and thinking about it just a little bit differently so that we can continue to make the shifts in our own life that we're wanting to make. Because that's really what it's all about. It's making these shifts, right? Mm-hmm. It's about making shifts in not just in our perception, but also in our patterns. you described right. earlier, you know, we could just live life by default and we would get a default kind of life. But if we're not going to do that, that requires focus. It requires concentration. It requires a continued and a continually renewing effort to, yep, I'm going to stay on the course I want to be on that I've always just fallen into. That takes some effort, takes some doing.
Yes.
Which raises an interesting next step, I think. One of the criticisms that is often made of this whole woo-woo type area, this arena that we're in, is, well, there's not a whole lot of attention paid to the action side, to the doing side. And very often when doing is brought up, it's usually brought up in terms of, well, you don't really need to do anything. It's about your focus and all that. But there's actually some doing that goes on in there as well. But even so, we live in a world that is an action-oriented world. I mean, yeah, there are some people who try to live their entire life on the couch, but that's more of the default that we're trying to avoid. So that means you're going to have to take some action somewhere along the way here. So let's talk about the action piece a little bit.
When I started Vibrant Living, I had one of those dark nights you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I had been let go of a job. And I haven't been that down in a long, long time. And then I know better. So then I'm beating myself up because I'm down, you know, that whole mm-hmm. thing. And so
we're really good at that. Yeah. We're
good at that.
Yeah.
But what I began to do was ask myself, what kind of life would I want? What would I want to do? And I answered it. I want to work with women, helping them. If you want to just put it this way, get over stuff so that they can we can truly get over it. Not just say I'm, you know, but really, really have it not bother you anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so how do I do that? And someone said, well, you could become a coach. And I'm like, I'm not a football coach yelling at people on the sideline. You know, I'm like, I don't know. Because coaching wasn't a thing, you know, before.
Right.
And now it's a thing.
It is.
So I ask, how do I do that? And I just continue to listen to my gut, ask questions to my intuition. How do I do this? And there would be these little signposts, these little things that would come along the way that led me where I'm now impacting women around the world. And it began with asking those questions. So if it could work, how could it work?
Mm-hmm.
If it could work, if you believed you could, what would you do? So there is action involved, but it is so, because the question contains your answer. If you ask, why did this happen to me? We get stuck in the why. If we ask, what can I learn from this and grow and become better? That's a different question with a different answer. And so as we begin to ask the questions, what is the life I would love? How do I do that? If I believed I could, how? And just begin to take steps. So there is action. I'm not just sitting humming in meditation. I'm an action girl. Almost too far action. I don't spend enough time in stillness. That's my challenge.
Well, at least you know what it is. That's good.
I know what it is.
Knowing is half the battle.
It is.
So learning how to ask the right questions, having the right people in your life that help you ask the right questions that are not limiting, but open, so we can go from the teaspoon to the tanker truck and bigger.
Mm. Yeah, because that is the goal, isn't it? To in vibration talk, to be in alignment with that larger pool of water rather than the little teaspoon. Yeah, that's definitely a big deal. The other thing that's tricky I find about the action piece, when I try to apply it not only in my own life, but help other people out. Most of it obviously happens in terms of conversations here on the podcast, but you know, like anybody else, I have friends or people I care about, family, whatever, who occasionally are asking for assistance and I want to be able to help them. And in any of these situations where they're looking for help, yeah, there is the need to go inside. And so certainly that's a big part of it. But then ultimately you get to the point where you're asking yourself, okay, so what is that next step? that I need to take. And you just talked about how, well, you go inside, you kind of take a gut check, find out what the gut is telling you. The challenge here, I think, is that we also get a lot of input from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's pretty good input. There are a lot of people, and that's what coaching is. Coaching is outside input, and it can often be very good. The challenge, I think, is that often we tend to think that the coach has the answer.
And yeah, so I disagree with that statement, but you can keep going.
let's circle back to that. But because I'm glad that you're finding something to disagree with. That makes it interesting. But what often happens is that the coach, it becomes, it's almost like we put the coach on the pedestal, and the coach has all the answers, so I'm just going to do whatever the coach says. But just because a coach gives you great information doesn't mean that you should necessarily follow all of it. Right now we're in a realm where there's a whole bunch of coaching going on. We were just talking about that a moment ago. Yeah, coaching is like the thing. And yet, you could be somebody, and this actually fits me, you could be somebody who really wants to help other people, but coaching really isn't what you want to do. You want to do something else to help. You aren't really sure what it is, but it's not coaching. And yet all of the models say go with coaching, and the people who go into coaching are very successful in their coaching. And everybody who is a coach will teach you, here's how you can go about becoming more successful as a coach. And instead you're saying, I don't really want to be a coach.
They won't let us live, Walt. They won't let us live.
I tell you. So that becomes a big challenge, if you understand what I mean. So, yeah, and by all means, circle back to the thing you disagree with. I want to hear that part too.
Yeah. I agree that that is some things for some coaches, perhaps. But I think that what makes a great coach is they highlight choices that we have as opposed to telling us what to do. It's helping them pull out what their choice is. So what is it you want to do? So if you did that, what would happen? If you did this, what would happen? To me, that's coaching, is giving people choices to be able to them to choose what their gut says, what they feel on the inside. Never tell them what they should do. That's not a good coach. Is if you're telling somebody what to do, it needs to be what they are already telling you they want to do, and you are giving them accountability and support while they do that to help them believe in themselves. And I also know majority of coaches are not successful. It is difficult sometimes to get this because of a lot of things, but to me, that's what a coach is. As a coach gives you choice, it helps you discover what your choices are and support and accountability to do it.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. And in fact, I agree with you that a good coach doesn't actually try to solve any of the problems for you. The coach helps you find your own solutions. I was trying to describe what the client often does with the coach. It isn't that the coach is doing a certain kind of teaching. It's that the client is saying, the coach has all the answers, so I'm going to do whatever the coach wants me to do. It's not the coach that's doing it. It's the client that's doing it.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. I think it happens quite a bit, actually. And the really skilled coaches are the ones who know very quickly to turn that around and, no, we're not going to do it that way. You're the one who's in charge of your own life. I'm here to help you get to where you want to go, but you're right. The one who's got to, you know, set the tone here. You're the one who's got to make decisions. But even if we go outside of the realm of coaching, I mean, there are so many people out there. Let's say if we go into the business models, people are doing all kinds of business models. We actually had a summit recently in which we presented a bunch of people showing different kind of business models, how you can get yourself into a business if you want to generate an income stream and so forth. And even there, there's a tendency to say, okay, well, I'm going to model myself after what X person did because they were so successful at it. And then you start modeling it, and then you find that part of what they're doing just doesn't fit you.
Right.
It just doesn't fit.
Right. It's a good jumping off place.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't fit most of all because you're not supposed to be them.
That's right.
You're supposed to be you, and learning how to do that and be able to, but there's so many different types of the new buzzword coaches that are out there. So it's just learning that what fits you and what resonates with you, and then do that.
And that what that phrase there is perfectly accurate, but there is a whole bunch of stuff in that phrase. I mean, it sounds so simple the way it's expressed there, but there's actually a lot of meat in there that I think deserves to be chewed. I can think of a few instances from my own life very recently. Right now I'm in a process where the show, just to give you a little background, Donna, the show for, I started the show almost 10 years ago. Most of that time I've had co-hosts like Alex, and we have conversations every week and, you know, actually every day, because I have co-hosts every single day, and it's wonderful. And we've had all kinds of explorations of stuff, but lately I've been kind of branching out more to, okay, let's bring some more guests in from outside, kind of expand the range of perspectives that we have, in part because I'm trying to grow the audience. The audience has grown organically all this time, just kind of showed up, and we love them and they love us, and that's wonderful. But I want to reach a larger audience now. So, okay, reach out through finding other guests and finding other places to find new audience and so forth. And in the process of doing that, I've encountered a number of different people who have taught me different ways. You know, here's some ideas on how you can grow your audience. And I'll just name one of them just because I think it creates a really interesting example. And a lot of people have been presenting this one to me. Basically, the idea of collect people's email addresses in exchange for giving them a free gift. There's always been a part of me that just, that was the sandpaper kind of moment you were talking about. There's a little piece of me that said that's a sandpaper moment. And I very recently came to terms with why it was. It was because the email address had nothing to do with what I was doing. Yeah, that's the way a lot of marketing gets done today. But I really didn't need to collect an email address because I wasn't out there just trying to market stuff. I was out there. Right. Trying to put out content about this podcast, about trying to put this podcast out there to people who would resonate with it so that they could enjoy the podcast and get value out of it. Email addresses had nothing to do with that. And so I've literally had to start rethinking some of the ideas, because I've got some really great ideas on how to market and how to build the audience. But I've had to rethink of it in terms of how do I take the email address out and put in what I really want? So I've had to adapt what I've been told to what works for me. And that's a skill. I mean, you described it in a nice, clean sentence, but really there's a whole skill involved in learning how to do that, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. It depends on each situation, but yes, it's, as we said in the South, you know, chewing the hay and spitting out the sticks. It's like, it's what works for you. It's like, what is resonating with you, and do that and use that, and what is not. Do you know, let it go, just let it go, and watch what happens when you get in alignment on the inside, when everything that you're doing feels harmonious and for people's good and benefit. Because there's a lot of ways that you're taught to build a business of any kind that may not resonate with your values.
Right.
And what resonates with you. And so learning to be able to take what works, because there's a lot of great wisdom. We don't have to relearn everything, but it's like not all of it is going to work for what you want.
That's exactly right. And that's where it comes to what you started off our conversation with, about the going inside, checking in, doing the gut check. What feels good?
Right.
What resonates inside, and learning to do that on a regular basis, and not just learning to do it, but trusting it. Yeah. I mean, I think we all have a sense of what our gut tells us, but trusting it is another deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we often listen either.
Right.
Because our gut is not a yeller. It's not yelling. It's not screaming. No, but everything else in the world is screaming and yelling and seems to have a stronger voice. So you have to get quiet to really hear your gut in a clear way, to be able and seek it, because it isn't going to yell at you. Say, don't do that. It rarely does that. Our body may react to situations, but it isn't as if we can hear the voice. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Because I mean, everybody who's ever experienced any of physical ailment knows exactly what you're talking about. That's literally the way it manifests. That's the body screaming one way or another.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And when the body screams, it is a challenge at first, because if we're not used to listening to that, well, okay, I feel pain. All right. So what's it telling me? I don't know. I feel pain. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, that is a skill to figure out the voice that's speaking.
How did you develop that skill for yourself, and how do you help your clients to develop that skill?
I have several coaching sessions I take people through to teach them how to begin to listen to the voice. And the way that I learned how to listen really deep was through my coaches. So it's a skill that I've passed along. That isn't something, it's a complete session. It's an hour or so that I walk people through. So it isn't something to do today, but it is beginning to pay attention to, what your body is telling you and how to interpret that. And it's a wonderful skill.
I think this is one of those skills that people are routinely working to develop, which is obviously one reason why you're offering that as part of what you do with your clients. Mm-hmm. I know that we talked before the show about some of the things that you're currently doing. You mentioned something about a workshop that's coming up. That's probably a part of it, but there are probably a number of different pieces to the puzzle mm-hmm. in terms of how you go about putting it together. Why don't you just give us an outline of how some of those pieces work?
The pieces of what? I'm sorry.
how you're helping somebody who is trying to deal with these meat and potato issues. That's the way I think of them. They're meat and potato issues. Like, yeah, I know I need to go inside. I don't do it often enough. On the times that I do it, I don't always trust it. You know, all the yada, 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 all the stuff that people are trying. It's like a murky soup that people are trying to work through as they become more and more in tune with who they really are and what it is they really want in life. And that's what you're helping them to clarify, really, so that they can get to where they want to get to. But I'm sure you have programs in place that help people to accomplish that. Just can you tell us a little bit about those programs?
Yes. The main program that a lot of people work with is called Turn Your Baggage into Luggage, so you can have the life you've dreamed. And so it's learning how to process the pain and disappointment that life brings, which is baggage thinking. Baggage thinking is things like, why did this happen to me? This is not fair, not just, not right. This shouldn't have happened. It's wrong. Somebody needs to pay. That's baggage thinking. And we get stuck in baggage thinking. And so learning how to process that. On the other hand, using my analogy, luggage thinking is what I was talking about, that there's a gift inside this. It's trying to figure out what good can come out of it. This happened to me. I'm going to use it to grow and become the best me that I can be. That is luggage thinking. And I have four steps that I walk people through with that is looking for the gift is number one. It's begin to search. When I look, just the activity of looking for a gift shifts my perspective from woe is me to how can I grow. It's a beginning to shift the perspective on where I want to go. Number two is keep a bigger picture in mind. And what I mean by that is if your life was a book, let this be a paragraph in your life or a page or a chapter, but not your whole book. Mm-hmm. And understand that it is a portion of your life and that it doesn't have to be forever. I have been in situations where it felt like it was going to be forever.
I think we all have. Yeah.
And so there's definitely that emotions and feelings that are there, but just the idea of looking for the gift and looking and going, this is not going to be forever, that this is a period of time in my life. And then number three is compassion for others, or that word that we have to do a lot of explanation, forgiveness. That's a whole nother episode.
They're interesting episodes. Yes.
Forgiveness of ourselves, forgiveness of others. What does forgiveness really mean? So I go into that in depth because it's not usually what we think it means. And number four is get support and help. We weren't meant to do this alone, and learning how to get the right people around us to give us support and help through that. That is a brief synopsis of what we go into a lot more in depth in the workshop of what is involved in turning. I give them more skills on what do I do with all my emotions? What do I do with this inner critic? How do I handle the inner critic? And so we go more into that. That is the workshop. And from there, we go in, people go into my coaching program, which has the same title, Turn Your Baggage into Luggage. And we just take that deeper and go into being able to make not this just head knowledge, but something that's changed on the inside.
Sounds very good. Like you said, we could do an entire show on forgiveness, and obviously we don't have an entire mm-hmm. show left, but why would we spend just a few minutes on it? Because that's one of those topics that you can explore from a variety of different angles. But I'm kind of curious, I know this is kind of unfair, but can you kind of summarize what's your approach to forgiveness? Like when you're talking about forgiveness, what's like your most salient point that you're hitting on?
Well, the main thing that I ask people is, what is forgiveness to you? You know, what do they think forgiveness is? Because it depends on where they're coming from. What's the reasons why you haven't forgiven? And I've heard things like, because they're not sorry. You know, they're not sorry. In fact, they keep doing it. Why would I forgive them? You know, they're not even sorry. And if I forgive them, that means they get away with it.
Mm.
So if I forgive them, they've gotten away with it, and that's not right. They need to pay, and so I can't forgive them because they can't get away with it. Things like that. It means that I have to be all, if I forgive them, it means I have to trust them and accept them in my life and be all lovey-dovey kind of thing. And I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, so that's another reason why I hear people don't want to forgive. And so there's a host. I have a whole list that people have told me. But those are three major ones, is like that people choose to not forgive. One of the key components is, I use this analogy, it's not mine, but it's become mine, is unforgiveness. Choosing not to forgive is like I'm drinking poison and expecting the other person to get sick.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And so unforgiveness and choosing not to forgive hurts me. It doesn't hurt them. And forgiveness sets me free. It does not mean I have to trust them. It does not mean that I'm going to be all close and intimate and trust them again. But it does mean that you set yourself free by choosing to forgive. So, you know, not having a whole lot of time, but does that explain it pretty good?
It explains it beautifully. In fact, it hits on one of my favorite salient points, which is what the purpose of forgiveness is. Most often, and your examples lay it out beautifully, most often people think that forgiveness is about the person being forgiven. It's not. It's about the person doing the forgiving. Actually, the person being forgiven plays almost no role in it at all.
Yes. They don't even have to be present or even know.
Yeah. That's the best part.
Yep. So you don't have to tell them, and they could be, you know, I've had people have to forgive their parents that are no longer living. Mm. And so mm-hmm. it's a lot, you know, and then there's that whole topic of forgiving ourselves, you know. Yeah. So that one comes up too.
Quite understandably. I mean, we were talking about this on the show yesterday with my guest yesterday. We are world champions at beating ourselves up. Mm-hmm. We beat ourselves up better than we beat anybody else up in our lives. We're so good at it. And as my guest yesterday pointed out, like, you know, how would I feel about myself if I treated my best friend that way?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, oh, my goodness, we are just so it's so habitual, too. I mean, the habits are so deeply ingrained.
The sun is setting on me, so I am being highlighted.
You're developing a glow. That's what
I am glowing. I didn't close the drapes, and so the sun will soon be on my face.
Well, you're in the spotlight. That's what's happening. The spotlight's coming on you right now.
Oh,
but in conjunction with this this idea of forgiving being about forgiving for yourself rather than for the person you're forgiving, there's also another piece of it that we've explored a bit. I'm curious to know to what degree you explore it with your clients, and that is going beyond forgiveness. Because it's one thing to forgive, but then there's like a next level that you might call acceptance. And then there's even a further level beyond that one, which we could label as appreciation. And that one, certainly when you're in the early stages, that seems impossible.
Yeah.
And even in the later stages, it often seems impossible. But it's actually possible to get to it. Is that something that you aim for in what you're helping people with? I mean, how far do you take the forgiveness thing?
As far as they are able to go at the time, I often say forgiveness is a process. It isn't a one-time event. And so helping people to do that as they are able in stages. And, you know, I work with people over a long period of time. So if they want to anyway, and so support them in that, but yes, help them work all the way through so that it's a non-issue anymore.
Yeah. I've also found that for myself, when I study my own things or people most often that I'm needing to forgive and needing to accept on those occasions. And there are rare occasions. I won't say that it happens every day, but on those rare occasions where I'm able to get to the point of acceptance and even appreciation of something that I did not feel good about at all previously, I find that my life gets tremendously better just for having reached that point. Yeah. Like, and it's not something that happens slowly. It happens quickly. From the moment that I reached that level of acceptance/appreciation, within seconds, my life gets better. And I start seeing evidence of it really, really quickly.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Mm. It happens fast. And it's the strongest piece of evidence, you know, because we're always looking for evidence, right? It's the strongest piece of evidence that I've ever found that the changes I'm making in my thought process are actually paying off.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love it.
So, yeah, we could obviously spend a lot of time on that one, but with 5 minutes left, that probably won't work. So let's do a little wrapping up. This has been interesting. And I want to thank you for sharing. Let's talk a little bit more about the workshop. You said, is there a date range for the next set of workshop? I mean, how does that work with you? I don't know how you do that.
It is every other month. And so I've got one sometimes as scheduled in April, and I can't remember the date right now, but it is on my website. If I can give that link.
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead. I'll put it in the description too, so that people can click on it.
The letter I, vibrantliving.com. So, and if someone wants to talk and have, there's a complimentary consultation on there as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when they're signing up for the workshop, what should they expect? What does that look like when you're in a workshop?
I give them an activation workbook to be able to work along the content that's available. And it's about a little over an hour. Depends on how long the questions go. But I would be teaching for about an hour.
So it's like a group presentation is what it sounds like.
It's on Zoom. And so because there's people from all over the world attending it and that kind of thing in time areas. So it is an interactive workshop where I'm teaching and then ask questions and people respond. And then we get into whatever they're wanting to talk about deeper. So it's interactive as if you were in a classroom. That might be a good eye setting where it's interactive that way. Mm-hmm.
The great advantage to that kind of workshop or group activity is that it's a great way to see what it's like to interact with the coach.
Absolutely. Because
every coach has their own style. You know, no matter who the coach is, he or she has a style and a method that fits them. And this is actually one of the most important things, I think, where looking for a coach or looking for somebody to mentor or in some way help you out is – it's in finding that right match, the one that fits you the best.
Yes, absolutely.
In fact, when you're talking to somebody and they're considering you as a coach, I imagine that you're also kind of considering, is this a good fit for me? Am I going to be able to really help this person? How do you advise that person in terms of, here's what I recommend you look for? How do you help them if they're trying to figure out, who do I hook up with? Who do I connect with in terms of helping me with navigating my waters?
Well, it depends on what they need. And so if for some reason that I don't think one of my programs are a good fit, then helping them find the resources that they could utilize to do this. So that's not a question I can really answer because it depends on what the resources are. But people who have a consultation with me, if for some reason working with me doesn't feel like it's the right thing, then I'm going to help them find the resources that are.
Yep, and that's definitely the right way to do it. No doubt about that. So, okay, Alex, like I said, before to dominate, which is kind of, you know, par for the course around here. And you've been enjoying the conversation, but do you have any last questions for Donna before we part for the day?
No, I don't. I think she was very eloquent and said everything that she needed to say and gave everyone a clue as to what she does. So, yeah, I think we're good.
I don't know how to tell you this, Donna, but this is like really unusual for Alex to have this like very, very terse, you know, set answer. Okay, I'm done. I'm good. Like usually there's something coming out and it's not coming out. Like, okay. I mean, she's very direct in her answers. It's not like she takes forever to, you know, ask or answer a question, but usually there's something that she's probing. And it's like, nope, this is good. I like this. This is good. Awesome. So you've done your job. I guess that's the main point.
Thank you. Exactly.
You did very well on that.
Thank you.
So good. All right. Well, then I will be putting a link into the description about where to find your website. And I want to thank you for being on the show. Before we finish off for the day, I want to talk a little bit about upcoming guests. We have a guest coming tomorrow named Terry Wildeman. She is an intuitive success navigator, medium, and healer. That's quite a combination. I'm going to be curious to find out what that's about. Yeah. Yeah. So Debbie G and Neo and I are going to be exploring more about what she is all about. She does promise that she's a great guest. So that she's already setting the bar high for herself.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, hey, you have to do it, right? You have to say, I got my stuff. And here's my stuff and it's good. So we'll be looking forward to that. And then, like I've been saying up until, up for the last couple of weeks now, we're definitely on a new track right now where we're bringing in a lot more people from the outside, people like Donna, to give us these new perspectives. If you in the audience have a particular person that you know about that you want to have on the show, send me an email, walt@elevatetoday.net. Let me know about who they are. Also, I put out a call because we lost a couple of our co-hosts on Tuesday and Wednesday. And I've actually had one inquiry about that may actually pan out. But if there's anybody out there who wanted to be a co-host, now's a good time to reach out because we do have a couple of openings. So again, send an email to walt@elevatetoday.net and we will find a way to tie you in because we just like doing that. I have to tell you, Donna, some of the things that some of the co-hosts that I've gotten, the best ones have come from the audience. And it's fun. It's really fun because, you know, these are people who've heard you sometimes for years. And it's like with the podcast, you don't really know what the other person's thinking. I mean, we get emails and so forth, so we get some input. But then you actually get to talk to them and, you know, interact with them on the show, and you find wow, we got really cool people in the audience. And so that new way to get that extra perspective. So, yeah, it's been a very effective way. But we do want to thank you once again for joining us on the show and for sharing your perspectives and very down-to-earth perspectives too, I must say. Yeah, I love the way that you are very, you're factual. There is a spiritual side to it, but it's just like, okay, this is it. This, you know, bang, you're done. This is it. It's not complex stuff. Come on, guys. This is easy. We can do this. So thank you for spending the time and sharing some of those insights with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. So Dan, we'll be back next week. Alex, we'll probably be doing more TV stuff then. That'll be kind of cool.
Right.
Anything you need to let us know about before we sign off for the day?
Ooh, let me think. Well, everything's back from hiatus. So like literally everything is on right now. Like I can't even keep up with all my shows. behind. But yeah, there was a cliffhanger on Grey's Anatomy. There was a bunch of cliffhangers actually throughout winter break.
Okay.
That just came back this week, if not definitely next week.
Well, then you'll have to give us a report next week so we have a complete update of what's going on. Okay. So thank you guys very much. Thank you to our podcast listeners everywhere. Thank you to our live streamers. We will see you all next time here on Elevate Today. Goodbye, everybody.